26 and 30. And we've been doing a short series through the Pentateuch, and Deuteronomy is the last of those five books of Moses. And this is sort of the summary of Moses as he speaks. And we'll be just kind of looking at that, the theme that he kind of ends on. But I wanted to just get the attention of the children for a second. I know some of you draw pictures from time to time. And I want to tell you something you could draw. And the question, if you had to go into your house and take only one thing with you out of the house, what would it be? You might, if you're drawing a picture, draw a picture of that. Now the adults, please keep that in mind too. What would it be that you would take out of your house if you could only take one thing? What would be that special thing that you would want to take out of your house? Well, let's turn to the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 26. And we'll be reading verses 16 to 19 there. This is a long address that Moses is giving, and he's going to leave the people and has been emphasizing certain issues all the way through. And we'll begin in verse 16. This day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared today that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in His ways and keep His statutes and His commandments and His rules, and will obey His voice. And the Lord has declared today that you are a people for His treasured possession, as He promised you, and that you are to keep all His commandments. And He will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all nations that He has made. And you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God, as He promised. And then turning over to chapter 30, really the very end of the message, the final words that we have here. Verses 11 to 20. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend the heavens to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in His ways and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before your life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him. For He is your life and length of days. You may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now there is an insert that has a sermon outline. The choices we make are crucial. Really, this portion of the Word of God is emphasizing that. You know, freshmen, as they go into college and choose a major, it will direct their path for their maybe the remainder of their life. In politics, who we choose to be president and in Congress has a profound effect on our nation and where it goes on. Sometimes we're not very aware of what's going on and the choices we make and how important they are. I think of a man, the head of a company, decides to go in late because his child is starting school and it's her first day. And so he arrives later. And then another man, it's his turn to buy the donuts. And he gets to work a little bit later. A woman, alarm clock didn't go off. And so she didn't arrive at work on time. There was an accident on the New Jersey Turnpike. And the man coming from New Jersey was much delayed. A woman spilled food from breakfast on her clothes and decides to go and change clothes and go into work late. There's a mother whose child dawdled and wouldn't obey, and she ended up being late for work. Another woman bought a new pair of shoes that were hurting her feet. And she decided to go back in and put a band-aid on it. All these had a choice to make, a seemingly insignificant choice. But because of that choice, when those planes hit the Twin Towers of New York City, they weren't in the building. They were delayed for some reason. And instead of maybe dying in that tragedy on 9/11, they avoided it. Choices are important. And of course, as a sports fan, a Colts fan, I think of April 18th, 1998. One of the most important days in Colts history. The day they had the first choice in the NFL draft. And they and San Diego, who went second, both wanted quarterbacks. And there were only two really great quarterbacks out there, Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf. And what was much debated is, which one do you choose? Peyton Manning was the more polished one, but Ryan Leaf was thought to have a lot more potential. Long term, he'd be a lot better quarterback. And so it was being debated. And the Colts had the first pick. And they chose Peyton Manning. And San Diego, according to what they said, got the man that they wanted. They got Ryan Leaf. Well, what happened with those two choices? Well, Peyton Manning, we still hear about. He's a perennial All-Pro. He's breaking records year after year, it seems like. He's won a Super Bowl, been the Super Bowl MVP. And there's a sure bet to be in the Hall of Fame. And if you follow the career of Ryan Leach, he went to 4 different teams in 5 years and retired at the ripe old age of 26. Last I knew, he was coaching golf at West Texas A&M. He didn't work out. One choice was a tremendous success. The second choice was a tremendous failure. And the choice really made all the difference. The right choice brought success. The wrong choice brought failure. And that's really what Moses is emphasizing here, is that the people are going to go into the promised land. And they will have choices before them. He's no longer going to be their leader. He's not going to go in the land. How will they live in that new land? What choices will they make? And specifically, will they adhere to the God who brought them out of Egypt, to the God who established a covenant with them, or not? And for you and for me, the most important question that we face in this life is, what will be our relationship with God? Will we stay close to God? Or not? Will we look to Jesus Christ or not? And just as it made all the difference to the Colts, what choice they made, it makes all the difference to us, and even more so, whether we seek God and seek to be close to Him. And so the first point we can look at is the covenant is presented. There in chapter 26, 16 to 19 that we read, it's really pointing to that covenant ratification that has taken place, where the people have made a promise, a pledge to be God's people and to obey Him. And there's sort of a solemn oath going on the part of both parties. And then we look on God's part, God promises in verse 18 that Israel is going to be His people, His treasured people out of all the nations on the earth. And then 19 says, God will set you high above all the nations. And notice the reasons why. For praise, for fame, for honor, that you will be a consecrated people to the Lord your God. It's pointing to that relationship that they have that no one else enjoys with God, a relationship of grace, of God being their people. And it goes back to the patriarchs, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but they're mentioned at the end of verse 30. Because of His promises, God is making this nation His prized possession. And they asked the children earlier, what would you go back into your house if you could take one thing out? What would it be? And adults, what would it be? What would be your most prized possession? Well, God is saying here, my most prized possession is this nation, Israel. They have a special regard for. That I will give them a special place of promise and prominence in the world. They're to be a holier, consecrated people. A people that is set apart for God and for Him only. The holy utensils, the same word there is used, where the utensils used in the temple that couldn't be used anywhere else. The priests weren't to use them. The king wasn't to use them. They were reserved only for God. And these people are reserved only for God. Well, on the people's part, their commitment is loving, trust, and obedience. Verse 16 says, these statutes and ordinances, going all the way back to what started in chapter 5 as he begins with the Ten Commandments and then explains them and gives them case law and cases show how those laws apply. These covenant regulations express the will of God. And so it goes on to say, you shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. That is, wholeheartedly. Not with mere formality. Not just a list of do's and don'ts, but this is part of the heart religion. Is wanting to do things. True service of God, true worship of God, a true relationship with God always begins with the heart. And it has to be wholehearted. In verse 18, God promises are made with encouragement that you should keep all His commandments. All His commandments. The devil wants to paint God's laws, God's commandments as restrictive. As somehow tying us down. Causing us not to enjoy life. But in fact, we see quite the opposite here. Real happiness is found as we follow God and His will and His commands and what He has said. If you look in the intervening chapter 28 of the latter portion, it gives us a glimpse of the horror of life without God. Life lived apart from God, when the people willfully abandon God. And what it shows is a terrible breakdown of the social order. And Romans 1 makes the same point. Immorality abounds. Family life collapses. Theft and corruption flourish. There's no individual security. And there are no constraints on the rich. They exploit the poor. All that they care to. Life without God and His will is terrible. And notice as it calls upon this relationship, there's a sense of urgency. Verse 16, this day. Verse 17, today. Verse 18, today. The people are to act that day when Moses would speak to them. They were not to delay. They were not to say, well, sometime in the future when I get my life in order, when we get our lives in order, we're going to deal with this. And we need to be aware of the same thing, because oftentimes, maybe especially young people, but it can be any one of us, think, well, down the road, I'll straighten this out, I'll deal with this matter. You need to be aware that God calls you to act today. And a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned a man in Florida who delayed making a decision for Christ. He was having too much fun until a heart attack ended his life. The second point, we can see the climax of Moses' address to God's people. God's message to all generations is there in those verses. Choose life. Choose life. May our first encouragement as you look at verses 11 to 14. The encouragement that what God requires of us isn't too difficult. Isn't impossible. Isn't out of reach. The way of loving obedience is not too difficult. It's not up in heaven somewhere. And today we might say it's not someplace in some vast solar system far away that we couldn't get there, that we couldn't construct a spaceship and go there. It's too far away. It's not in some distant galaxy. Neither is it beyond the sea, a border, a natural border that's hard to cross. And it was crossed in that day only with great difficulty. Needing some sort of superhuman feat. It doesn't take that from us. But verse 14 says the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. The law is within everyone's reach. The need is to allow it into your heart and let it flow out in your life. God's will doesn't require some special training, some special knowledge. When God says, do not lie, even the younger children know what that means. It takes a loving response of wanting to do our Father's will. Now, there have been those in the first century, there were mystery religions where you had to have some sort of special knowledge to be able to please God. And even today, there are groups like the Dalai Lama or Scientology that say you need some special knowledge and they can help you get that knowledge. Not so. The words that God has spoken, He's spoken clearly. And we have them in the Bible. We don't need to be looking elsewhere for what God's word is or what His will is. Hence, what we see here is what we can act on immediately. Well, B, as we, well, I might just mention that as you look at verses 16 and 20, it always begins with loving your God. So it's not mere obedience. It begins with a heart and having a right heart. And of course it comes down to having faith in Jesus Christ. Well, B, as you look at verses 15 to 20, there are two choices, two alternatives that are set forth before us. Which path will Israel follow? Which path will you and I follow? There are two possibilities, but they don't seem to be very even. The one is life, blessing, the good. And the other is called death, cursing, and evil. Now, the point is, the choice should be pretty obvious. But what is being emphasized is how important that choice is, and that all do not make that choice. We read Israel's history, they too often chose the road to curse, the road to evil, the road to death. And we still see that around us today. The choice is set before us in the clearest terms. The law has been stated and explained in Deuteronomy 5 and 6. The history of God's dealing comes after that, showing that God has been gracious, God has been redeeming His people, that you can trust God, that He's cared for the people in the wilderness when there's no water and there's no food. By His grace, they had been kept safe. We've also even seen, you go through Deuteronomy, that the basic operating principle of love, that our response needs to be a response of love to God for what He has done for us. And it even been that two futures, the blessing and the curse, are symbolized by two mountains. And on the one that had the curse, there's that altar. That reminds us, how do we get to that blessing? It's through the sacrifice. It's through Jesus Christ that we really receive the blessing. But now it comes down to our human responsibility. And as those who are reformed, we recognize the validity of human responsibility. A choice is to be made. even as we were aware that God is operating. It's the people who are to repent, the people who are to believe, and the people who are to love God. And God doesn't repent for us, doesn't believe for us. We're called to do that. He enables us by His Spirit. But He calls us to action. And which choice? Verse 20, loving the Lord your God and holding fast to Him, clinging to Him. That's the only legitimate choice. If we understand what the implications are, and this choice that is more than a mere affirmation, a mere words, it's a lifestyle choice that says, I'm putting Jesus Christ first in my life. I want a life that is a submission to God, that is looking to God for my purpose and for my existence. Now there is another choice. It's the wrong choice. And if you choose the way of death, it's precluding any life, any of the blessings that are mentioned there. And just as back in 1998, you could see that the Colts made the right choice. I don't think there would be a general manager in football that would say, oh, the Colts should have chosen Ron Lee. Except maybe the San Diego one. It was clear. As you see the way it's worked out, what was to be done. It's clear that the right choice is to trust in Jesus Christ. And yet today, we see around us many who refuse to make that choice, who refuse to believe. It's encouragement to us to go and to speak. We have maybe a small way in the open house coming up in a couple of weeks to invite people. Have them come and join us. But so that we could at some point point them to the right choice. To Jesus Christ. The only hope for life. The only hope for blessings. And see, it talks about today. There's an urgency. In Moses' day, and really there's that same urgency today. That we have those same choices of life and death. Romans 10, which is quoted, which quotes Deuteronomy, calls us to respond to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we accept and confess Jesus as Lord? And thereby choose life? Or do we reject His claims, refuse His Lordship, and therefore choose death? It's a glorious thing. And what's repeated there in Romans 10 is, we don't have to ascend to heaven. We don't have to descend to the abyss. We don't have to cross vast seas. We don't have great mysteries to figure out. We're simply to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we will live. Two applications. First, if you've never done so, commit yourself to Jesus Christ. Trust Him for your sins. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Seek to do His will. Be in a living relationship with Him. The desires to please Him and to honor Him. And second, for those who have done so, recommit your life. Renew yourself in delighting in Christ and in that relationship. Renew yourself in seeking to serve Him in all areas of your life. Seek His leadership, His lordship over you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come and ask that as there's a choice, that by your Spirit you would enable each one here to make that right choice of loving you, of loving your Son Jesus Christ, whether it be the youngest child, that they would know what it means to be seeking you through Jesus Christ by His death, being reconciled to you. And pray that each one here would know what it means is to repent, to turn away from sin, to be sickened as we look at our sin and seek the forgiveness that's found in Jesus Christ. That altar on the mountain that Significat is indicated Christ and what He would do in dying for sinners. And help us then who have made that commitment to live for your honor and glory. That as we are called to love you and obey, that we would see that response of loving obedience, of gratitude for what we have in Jesus Christ. And each day we would be growing in that commitment. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.